And then the Bible also says that we're all supposed to be witnesses and lights and salt. Let's just do that. And so forth. But it was kind of neat to study and to make sure that I was on the right page. So what we're going to preach on today is what the Bible says about heaven. If you remember, all the way back in April, I preached a sermon on heaven. So some of these verses will be repetitive to that. But, you know, some of us, including myself, can't remember Wednesday night. Amen. Much less all the way back in April. But anyway, this sermon is entitled What the Bible Says About Heaven. And so we will discuss those things about what they're doing right now and if we will have a body and things like that in heaven throughout this sermon. So we're in John 14. And of course, anything that I try to answer, if I do have a question or if there's anything that I'm teaching or preaching, I want to load it up with Scripture. Amen? Because my opinion really doesn't matter. What my little finite brain has kind of gathered together really doesn't matter. But what God says matters. And so we see here, that's basically what we're going to look at today, is what the Bible says about heaven. In John 14, 1 through 3, it says here, "Let not your heart be troubled." That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to worry about stuff like that. Again, there's some verses that we can say, yeah, that's what the Bible says. Or there's verses that might insinuate that it might be like this and things like that. So, but again, God's there. If you're saved, you're going there. And that's the biggest thing. And so we're going to look at that today. So it says here, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." This is Jesus speaking. "In my Father's house are many mansions." And people like to mess with that. All right? They just like, "Just give me a little shack over in the corner and I'll be all right." No! I want a mansion! All right? The Bible tells us, and we're going to read the verse, you can't over-exaggerate heaven. And I like to think in my mind about my mansion. And, I'm a woodsy type dude. And, if God will let me bring my deer heads with me, they'll be hanging in my mansion. And my fish and things like that. I don't think they'll make the trip. But anyway, I know God made me the way I am, and He's going to make me a mansion. And so if He's making me one, He knows my likes and dislikes. Some of you, my wife watches some of those home things, home remodels, home finders, and home this and home that. And, there's names for everything. Colonial. All right. Eccentric. All right. What's the word for old? Antique, that's one. Vintage, that's what the one I was thinking of, but I couldn't think of it. Vintage. All right, I think I'm being vintage. I got a vintage haircut. I got vintage wrinkles. I got vintage pains. All right, but anyway, I don't know what your mansion's going to be like, whether it be vintage, whether it be log cabin, whether it be eccentric, whether it be colonial, ranch style, all those things. I don't know. But I know I'm going to have one because Jesus said I'm going to go build you one. "So in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." So don't be troubled about it. You've got a house in heaven. You've got a mansion in heaven. And again, some people say, mansion in heaven is different. It's going to be like little apartment rooms, because it's only 1,500 square miles square and all stuff. So we're going to live in this. No, it's mansion. All right, we can't over-exaggerate it, and I'll prove that to you in a little bit. So anyway, it says, "I would have told you, I go to prepare a place." So heaven is a real place. It's not a mindset. It's a place. It's a real physical place. "And I go there to prepare you a place," or prepare a place for you. "And I will come again," praise God for that, "and receive you unto myself, that where I am you may be also." And when you're singing a song like "Sinner Saved by Grace," and the end result means I get to live with Jesus forever in heaven, I can't help it. I just get excited, emotional, whatever you want to call it. And why? Because it's a real place and I'm going there. I'll read you a couple of the verses. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. "I would not have you be ignorant." God doesn't want us to be ignorant. There's some things that He tells us definite. There's a definite place. And if you're saved, you're definitely going there. We're going to get to do some things that we'll see here in a minute. And he don't want us to be ignorant about it. So here, "I would not have you to be ignorant." And he's talking to the brethren, the saved people. Because if you're not a brethren, if you're not saved, you're not going there anyway. But if you are saved, the Bible says God does not want us to be ignorant about it. And I'll let Brother Roger and Brother Todd, y'all be the judgment. I put it on heat this morning when I first got here. So if it gets a little too warm in here, fix that for us. But anyway, it says here, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that ye sorrow not, given as others, I'm sorry, even as others which have no hope. And so obviously this verse right here gets read at a lot of funerals. And if the person that they're having their funeral for that day is saved, and the person sitting there that's going to miss them is saved, this verse applies. It says, I get it. Sorrow. But and be sad. And miss. And, you know, remember some great times that you have. But don't be like other people that have no hope. If that person was not saved, there's no hope. If the person sitting in there that's not saved, they still have hope to get saved, but there's no hope to see that person again. That's how important it is. And God says, don't be ignorant about that. Know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven. So heaven is a real place. So here's some thoughts that other people might have had over the years. Where is it? When you die, do you go there immediately? How long a trip will it be? And some of your kids, are we there yet? 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 So praise God, the Bible says, in a twinkling of an eye. So it's not like hours and hours and hours and hours. And some of you, you know, I always told my boys, 20 minutes. And it didn't matter if it was 5 hours. I'm just going to say 20 minutes. And so the next time, are we there yet? 20 minutes. I thought you said 20. You're getting the point. All right, just hush, ride, sleep, whatever you need to do. And when they were real young, we'd drive through the night so they would sleep. Amen. But anyway, how long will it take us to get there? Will we know our loved ones and friends? Will they know us? What will I look like in heaven? You know, some people are worried about their looks. I think I'll have a full head of hair. I hope. Amen. And I think I'll leave some. I'd like to leave a few of these LBs down here. All right. And when I get up there. But anyway, what will I look like? What will heaven look like? Here's one some of you really, really going to know, because you don't give directions without using this as in your directions. What are we going to eat when we get to heaven? Amen. You go over here to this place and there's that restaurant and you turn left by that restaurant. And you go down that road and then there's this other restaurant, you turn right by it. All right. And so we're worried about what we're going to eat when we get to heaven. What will we do when we get to heaven? What are they doing today? That was that one question we were talking about. So, Roman number one. Heaven is a real place. We read it in John 14, 1 through 3. He went to prepare a place. It's literal. It is physical. You can touch it. You can see it. You can walk on it. All right? It is a real place. Heaven is not a state of mind like some religions think. And you're not going to come back and float around like some religions say. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. That's it. You're not going to come back as a butterfly or a Pikachu or you know whatever. All right, you're going to be either in heaven or hell. It's not a state of mind. There's no such thing as purgatory. All that stuff. It's just heaven or hell. Okay, so there's not a word purgatory in here. It is just heaven and hell. So heaven is a real place. Matthew 6, 19 and 20 says this: Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break in or break through and steal. But it says this: Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And so God is telling us right here that obviously we ought not be hoarders and try to keep all our money and keep all our possessions and get all these awards and things like this and try to hold on to them. Why? Because rust and moth are going to corrupt. I don't even know where my trophies are. I was able to get many of them growing up. I don't even know where they are. They're probably all rusted, broken, and my mom may have thrown them out with my baseball cards and my Hot Wheels. All right? Goodness gracious, Mom. But anyway, all that's going to... And moths. This time of year where you can wear long sleeves, some, I guess, ladies call it sweater weather or whatever. All right? I have a few shirts I like to wear. Now, some of you, this is all you see me in. This is not what I like to wear. All right, I don't like these. I don't like how tight it is. I don't. All right, but, you know, again, I just do. We want to give Jesus our best, look our best. I get it. But at my house, when you come to my house, and you're welcome to come to my house anytime, when I'm sitting in my recliner watching TV, I'm not dressed like this. Right? If it's late at night, it might be some sleep pants. And you're like, "Woo, that's a mental picture." Right? A T-shirt that it has to match. All right, I got the red and black squares, whatever that is. Black T-shirt, black socks. It's going to match. I'm not going to sit there mismatch looking in, sitting in my recliner. I'll be like, "Oh, I got to go change." It bothers me. I'm sorry. All right, it has to match. I promise. And I'll just leave it at that. Amen. But anyway, so you know, but I have this one shirt that I like to wear. It's the body's gray. It has some chartreuse green stitching right here. This sleeve's camouflage, real tree. This sleeve's camouflage, real tree. And it says, real tree right there, and it's got the real tree symbol right there. Favorite shirt. I would wear it this morning if I didn't think God would be mad at me. I took it out after we moved. I mean, like right there, I can't reach it, is a little bitty hole. Stinking moth chewed a hole in my shirt, my favorite shirt. I'm still wearing it. So if you ever see me, there's going to be like a little white dot, not my white skin, but my white T-shirt, shining through that hole because I'm going to keep wearing it. This is my favorite shirt. It's the most comfortable shirt I have. But the Bible says here that rust is going to corrupt. Moths are going to chew holes in your favorite shirt. Don't worry about that. You put up treasures in heaven where that's not going to affect. So we see here, is heaven a real place? A, heaven is a real place, not a state of mind. B, the Bible gives some descriptions of this real place. Of course, if you were describing, I don't want to get you in trouble here this morning, but if you were describing your wife, right, you would give minute details. You would give stuff that you like about her, or like about him if you were reversing it, but you would describe, they're about this tall, they're about this. You know, you don't tell weight or age, amen, you'll get in trouble. But you would describe them. So God describes heaven. We won't take time to read them all, but in Revelation 21 and 22, chapter 21, chapter 22, if you take time to read that this afternoon or sometime, it describes things that are in heaven. And of course, I'll just go through them real quickly. It says here that it's a holy city. Rust is not there. Moths are not there chewing holes in your robe. I guess we'll wear robes. I don't know. But anyway, they're not there. It's the New Jerusalem. It says here, an eternal home for the saved. And it says here, its foundations. And if you know anything about construction, obviously foundations are important and so forth. But it says here, its foundations are garnished with precious stones. Okay, now we might have a foundation. Of course, in most houses today, you have a foundation of concrete. And then some, you have footers and, you know, a wooden floor on top of that. Praise the Lord, I think dirt floors went out a long time ago. But anyway, you have a foundation. But in heaven, the foundation, it says here, it is garnished with precious stones. And there's a whole list of them there. You can read them. It describes that the walls are jasper. That's, you know, very, very pretty. Something that would cost a lot of money down here. The gates themselves are big, giant pearls. Now, in my mind, I think of pearls being round, and a round gate blows my mind. I can't figure that out. But anyway, it says that they're gates of pearls. Maybe they've hewn them down and made them where they can swing. But anyway, it says here, it describes the measurements of 1,500 miles square. Again, that blows my mind too. I can't wrap my brain around it. You know, some of you, you've seen these little Jesuses. We had, I can't remember who I was eating with at Cracker Barrel. I think it was Brother Joe Arthur when he was here. We was eating at Cracker Barrel. Somebody came by, put this little figurine there and says, "Hey, everybody needs a little Jesus. Anybody got one yet?" All right. It's a new thing going through the Christian bookstores. You just buy a bag full of little Jesuses and give them out. But anyway, so I got a little Jesus. But we see that it says here it's 1,500 miles square. So I think, you know, are we going to be smaller? Are there going to be? Anyway, but the Bible says it also says that it is, some things are indescribable. In other words, I think when I would describe my wife, I could tell you she's 5'8", and you know, she has brown hair. A little color getting mixed in there now, not by a beautician. But anyway, she's got that, and she's got you know, greenish blue eyes, and she's very beautiful. And you know, just her personality. Her brain power. I mean, she picked me. I mean, she has to be pretty intelligent, right? But anyway, so, and I could just describe her But there's a lot of things that are just indescribable. She's awesome. She's wonderful. And obviously the Bible says that about heaven. It's found in 1 Corinthians 2:9. 1 Corinthians 2:9. So we do have some descriptions of the foundation and the walls and the gates and other things that are there in heaven. Now, obviously we're going to walk on streets of gold. What we pay hundreds and hundreds, maybe even thousands of dollars for is what the pavement is up there, what we're going to walk on and so forth. But 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man." In other words, we just cannot fathom, we cannot figure it out, "the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." So again, He went there to prepare me a mansion, and we've got some descriptions of what it's going to be like. But then this verse says there's just no way. Nobody's ever seen any place that beautiful. Some people have been to some beautiful places. And you know, I've been to some such beautiful places. Now my beauty and your beauty may be totally different. Some of you might like to be on the square in New York City, and this is just beautiful. Not me. Alright. I'd rather be like, let's say, Colorado on the Rocky Mountains and just looking there where there's nothing. I like that better than billions of people. But anyway, what we've seen will be different than what we've heard about. I'd like to go see this because I always heard. The Bible says here, nobody's ever seen anything. And there's some wonders of this world. There's some beautiful pictures. I did that. Took out a camera to take a picture and I was like, 4x6 is not doing this justice. Put my camera up because it's just beautiful. But the Bible says heaven, nobody's ever seen anything like it. Nobody's ever even heard of going to a place like it. And it hadn't even entered into our heart what we would like. So I heard a little story. A boy was walking with his granddad and they were talking about the stars and talking about how beautiful it was. And I saw several of you on the church Facebook page. Your pictures popped up of all the different color stuff that you were taking the other night. And it was beautiful. And we see stars and so forth. And Brother Chris called me the other night or texted me the other night and said, "Go outside and look at the moon. And there's a star down here. 4 o'clock. And I thought, man, I got to go out at 4 o'clock in the morning to see it. I don't want to see it. But he said, no, positionally. All right. And a Jacob star, is that what it was? Yep. Hadn't been seen from the earth since Jesus was here. And so I obviously went out there, took a picture of it. Praise the Lord. And so things have been seen. And so the little boy was saying, "Grandpa, if on this side heaven is so beautiful, can you imagine what it's going to be like in there?" And that's what that verse is saying. No, you can't. You can't even imagine how awesome it's going to be. Wrap your brain around that. I don't know everything it's going to look like. And I don't know what everything is going to be going on. But I know it's unimaginable, indescribable. Heaven is going to be awesome. So we see that they, here's some things that they might be doing. May have put that up too soon. Sorry about that. So, yeah, that was the little boy saying, how awesome is it going to be inside? And you've all heard that song. I sang this song at my dad's mom's funeral, me and my family. And the song is, "How beautiful heaven must be." I mean, whew. Sweet home of the happy and the free. And so, again, I may not be able to describe it to you. I may not be able to tell you what it looks like perfectly. But I do know I'm going there. And I want you to know you're going there. And if that's taken care of, we'll find out. We'll find out. So, heaven is a place of perfect rest. Not only is it perfect in its beauty and its design, it's a place of perfect rest. Some of us, we don't even know what perfect rest means. I mean, we can sleep 8 hours, we get up, I feel like somebody beat me with a baseball bat. She might have. It depends on how you've been behaving yourself. All right. But, I feel like somebody beat. Man, you've been sleeping 8 hours, and you said, man, I feel like it was a nap. You don't get perfect rest. Some of you are like, the buzzsaw that I sleep with, there's no such thing as perfect rest. I mean, you might say that about your husband. I don't know. But anyway, Revelation 14:13 says this, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord." Okay, so if you die and you're saved, blessed are them. It says here, "From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." those incorruptible crowns that we talked about in Sunday school this morning. They'll follow us up there. We'll earn them. But it says here that when we're dead and gone to heaven, we're going to rest from our labors. That perfect rest, that means no worries. I'm going to say this right now. Some of you have some worries. And you're like, thanks for reminding me. I was thinking about heaven until you brought it up. All right? Because we worry about things. Did I turn the iron off? Is my house going to burn down while I'm gone? What did I set the stove for? Do I have this? We worry about stuff. But when we get to heaven, the Bible says we're not going to worry about anything. Nothing. Schedules to keep. I don't know. I don't think there'll be time clocks that we have to punch in because it's going to be a state of rest. We won't have to worry about getting up with an alarm clock and driving to our workplace. So heaven is a place, but it has different time schedules than we do down here. That's what I'm saying. I don't think our brain wraps around time in heaven. Because the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:8, but beloved, hey, you save people. Be not ignorant. So God doesn't want us to be ignorant about some things. Right? Be not ignorant of this one thing. Kind of like Paul. This one thing I do. And then he gives us a list of all those things. All right? That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day. So again, we don't have the 24-hour system. We don't have the 60 seconds and the 60 minutes and all the things that we learned about in school and go up here and move the happy face and the clock and all this kind of stuff to this time. They don't have that in heaven. I mean, 1,000 years is a day and a day is 1,000 years. So we see that heaven has a different timetable. So number one, heaven is a real place. Number two, the saved go to heaven, according to the Bible, immediately when they die. So if you're saved and you take that last breath, the Bible says, again, and I can't scientifically prove this to you or tell you how it does, but it says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So I mean immediately if not sooner. I didn't get that statement. My mama tell me that. Go do that immediately if not sooner. How can I do it sooner than immediately, Mom? But anyway, immediately, not sooner. But the Bible says, when you die, take your last breath, you go immediately to be with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Philippians 1:23, Paul is telling the Philippians, the church of Philippi, he's like, I'm caught between a rock and a hard place, is what he said. I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart to go be with Christ. And obviously if you watch the political realm of our world today and you look at society's demeanor and their, oh my goodness, all right, like, let's just go to heaven. I mean, I'm out. Take my vote and you can have it. I'm going to heaven. And again, I know when I was little, younger, I didn't think that way. Whoa, don't come back, Jesus, until I get married. And I was like, okay, whoa, time out, Jesus. Don't come back now until I have a kid. And whoa, don't come back until I've been able to serve you for a while. Now, check, come on back, even so quickly. All right? And that's what Paul was saying. He's like, I'm in straight between two, having a desire to depart to be with Jesus, which is far better. All right, then be down here. Obviously, he said, I want to serve God, do what God wants me to do down here on the earth. And that's the mindset. But we as individuals, we're not a body. Okay, we have a body, but we're not a body. The Bible says in Genesis 2:7, and God created man in his own image and breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living body, a living soul. So this body is going to go back to the ground where it came from. And we're going to describe some of this stuff here in a little bit. But we are a soul. Our soul lives inside this body. Our soul is our spirit. It's inside this body. We're created in God's image. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. We're created that way. So my body is not mine. We might say this, oh, I bumped my head. And those of us that don't have any padding up there, it's noticeable to everybody. If we forget to duck or if we get something there, it's going to be like, hey, I was a moron. I bumped into, because it's just like, pfft. All right? But anyway, I bumped my head. Some of them might say, oh, I cut my finger. My hands, my ears, my feet. But it's just like this. This is my Bible. This is my phone. This is my water. Hopefully nobody drinks after me. Right? So our body is our possession. But we are created in God's image and we are a living soul. So we see here that our body is just like a possession. So our body is a house that our soul lives in. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. So to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, my soul and my spirit, as soon as I take my last breath, this body is put into the grave. And this was what we were talking about. Do we get a temporary body up there? And this one goes back, but then the dead in Christ shall rise first. So, creepy. You think the Halloween decorations are creepy. Just wait till that day. All right, but we see the 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that we're going to, that body, that soul, and that spirit should be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we die, our soul and spirit leaves this body and goes immediately to be with Christ. So a saved man named Solomon Pease, I heard this story. He was a saved guy named Solomon Pease. All right? And he gave instructions that when I die, this is what I want on my grave marker, headstone, whatever you want to call it. And it said this, beneath the clouds and beneath the trees lies the body of Solomon Pease. I guess he was a poet. All right. It says here, this is not Pease, only his pod. Ba-dum-tsh. All right. Pease has shelled out and gone to God. So we see here that that's exactly what the Bible says, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So heaven is a real place. A saved person goes immediately to heaven when they die. So here's that other question. Will we know each other in heaven? Now, again, this is where we had some definites. And now this is where we get into some, well, this is what the Bible says and we can conclude from this. All right? So it says here, the Bible indicates in Luke 13:28, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see, here it is, Abraham. I mean, so if he was just a spirit floating around, you wouldn't be able to see Abraham. All right? But we have Abraham, and we have Isaac, and we have Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. So we see here in heaven, we have people that say that they're going to be seen. They're going to be seen. Abraham's going to be seen. Isaac's going to be seen. Jacob's going to be seen. All the prophets are going to be seen. So, they either have a temporary body, we don't know for sure, but they are going to be seen and they're going to be known. So then it says here in Luke 9, talks of Mount Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah showed up on the Mount Transfiguration and they lived years and years and years and years apart. But they both were there, and the Bible, you read it in Luke 9, they knew each other. Oh, there's Moses. Hey, Elijah, what's up? I don't know if they did that or not, but it says that they saw each other and spoke. And it says, so these guys were known as they were known, and they had bodies. It says in 1 Corinthians 13:12b says this, but then shall I know even also am known. So we are going to be known in heaven, and whether we have a temporary body or a heavenly body or what. So heaven is a real place. Saved go there immediately when they die. We are going to be known in heaven. And it says here, will we have a body? And we have those cases as well. In Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus, they both died, the Bible says. And obviously, Lazarus went to heaven. And it goes on to say in that verse in Luke 16, and Lazarus was laying on Abraham's bosom. So if he was a spirit and didn't have a body, he wouldn't have a bosom, chest, for Lazarus to lay his head on. So in heaven, Abraham, Lazarus was laying there. And obviously we know that the rich man was able to see that day up into heaven. And he said, hey, Lazarus. And Lazarus was in heaven laying on Abraham's bosom. And the rich man said, hey, Lazarus, dip the tip of your finger. So Lazarus was in heaven, but he had a finger. All right, dip your tip in the water because I'm in torment in this flame. So we see that Lazarus had a finger. Abraham had a bosom. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says here, for we know that if our earthly house, this body, it's called the temple of the Holy Spirit, or this tabernacle that our soul and spirit lives inside of, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house, not made with hands, eternal in heaven. So according to that verse, when our soul and spirit leaves this body, it goes back in the ground. In heaven we have a house, I have a tabernacle, a dwelling place for our soul and spirit, not made by hands. So when Jesus comes back, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So again, to be absent from the body, be in heaven. Somehow, some way, they had a body and a bosom and a finger and all that kind of stuff. Again, we're just indicating what the Bible might teach. So when they come back, then that dead in Christ shall rise first. And so the Bible teaches that our body and our soul and our spirit will be reunited and we'll get a new one. Because I guess that one will be a little deteriorated. Acts 24:15 says this, and there shall be a resurrection of dead bodies, both the just and the unjust. So the dead in Christ shall rise first, but then the dead in hell is going to rise again as well. Their soul and spirit will be reunited with their body. They might even continue, or they might think hell's over. But then they'll just have to get in that line at the judgment or the great white throne judgment and be cast right back in there. So John, 1 John 3:2 says this, Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. So we don't know exactly, but we know that when He shall appear, we will be like Him. So all I know is this old flesh makes me mad sometimes. This old flesh gets me in trouble sometimes. But when Jesus and that, when we come back with Him and that dead in Christ shall rise first, and we get our new body, that body will be just like Jesus, not capable of sinning, not capable of disappointing God anymore, and I'm looking forward to that body. It won't hurt anymore. It'll be perfect. Some people are like, well, Jesus was 33 when He died, so we're all going to be 33-year-old men. I don't know about that verse. I didn't see it. But we are going to be like Him, sinless, perfect. All right, I like that. Philippians 3:20-21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. So that new one we get that's going to last for the rest of eternity is going to be like His glorified. That's the type of body we have. So, number 5. The saved in heaven, what's going on right now? What are they doing today? Again, I'm going to read you some verses that kind of indicate. We don't know for sure. Luke 15:7 says this, And I say unto thee, or unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. So anytime any of us lead someone to Christ, the Bible says they know about it in heaven. And there's like faith churches all over this world, including the missionaries. Today, people will bow their head and accept Christ as their Savior. The Bible says heaven rejoices. So I know one thing. They like to rejoice over people getting saved. Now, my brain, I know it's weird. I've been to, let's say, an amusement park for the first time. This is awesome. I mean, they've got like the best roller coasters and years later, I can't wait to go back there. And I go and it's like, okay, it's all right. Wasn't as good as the first time. And then maybe you go back when you're an old youth director and you have to take the youth group to there and you
Hey, Brother Shea, come ride with me. Okay.
As long as it don't spin around in circles, I'm still good. Amen? But, it, you know, like the 500th time I've been there, it's like, oh, when are we leaving? Why? Because it just gets old. So that's the way our brains think. I don't think it happens that way in heaven. Oh, yeah, another somebody else got saved. Woo-hoo. No. I think in heaven, they're able to rejoice just like it was the first one. And can you imagine the ones in heaven seeing, I don't know if they can see this, seeing a church go out and pass out tracts in their neighborhood where their relative lives? You reckon they're praying? Don't let the dog bite them. Let them be at home. Help them not be in a rude mood. Help them to get saved today. And when they do, can you imagine what heaven is? So in heaven, I know they rejoice over people getting saved. What else do they do? Revelation 6, 9, and 10. It says here, and one in heaven that had been martyred, or the ones in heaven that had been martyred, could see on the earth. Revelation 6, 9 through 10. The martyrs who were talking to God and said, now we're not sad that we gave our life for you. We'd do it all over again. And if you read these verses, but they could see on earth and they asked God, the ones that had been martyred, God, how long? Read the verses. How long is it going to be until you judge them and avenge our blood? So according to Revelation 6, 9, and 10, anybody that was martyred in heaven can see the ones that martyred them and want God to avenge their blood. Hebrews 12, 1, very familiar verse. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed with a great cloud of witnesses. Most people believe that great cloud of witnesses compile the Hebrews 11, the great faith chapter. All right, the hall of faith, they can see. And they're cheering us on. We don't know if others can go over there. We don't know that. Proverbs 15:3 says this, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest. In other words, there's nothing on this earth that God cannot see in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him. So this is my opinion on that. Right? Some people are like, I don't know if my granny can see me. You know, I know I did that last week and granny would be disappointed. Guess what? God saw you last week. I think you ought to be more concerned about what God thinks than granny thinks. And here's a good one. If God's happy, granny's going to be happy. So again, I just don't think of how, oh, I hope so-and-so can't see me. God can! I mean, goodness! That's what he said. All things are, behold, everything's open and naked unto God. He can see. So let's just worry about that. And if everybody can see, they'll see us doing right. If everybody can see, they'll see us doing wrong. But God does for sure. So where is heaven? Up. All right? And then somebody's like, well, what if you were in China? That would be down up here and up down there. Just north, okay? Let's just say north. All right? So, the Bible says heaven is fixed in a fixed location on the sides of the north. This is found in Psalm 48:2 and Isaiah 14:13. Heaven is in a fixed location on the sides of the north. Psalm 75:6-7 says this, promotion. Listen to this verse. Promotion cometh neither from the east, nor the west, nor the south, and north is not mentioned. But it says this, but God is the judge. So promotion comes from not the east, not the west, not south, but God, obviously is in the north, says here, He putteth down one and setteth up another. And our Calvinists, I was going to say Calvinist friends, but people that believe in Calvinism, oh, they love verses like this. Well, God puts this one down and puts that one up. Well, duh. But according to the Bible, He does it based, He judges. He didn't pick, set you up, put you down. You're saved, you're not. He didn't pick. It says here, He judged. So in other words, He had to look and see what they were doing. So that that building up was based on that person's behavior. If this person tithes and this person gives his life to God, God's going to set them up. I'm going to bless them. If this person doesn't tithe, the Bible says, oh, I got to poke some holes in that guy's pocket and make it not last. And if this guy's going to not serve me and not listen to me, I'm going to turn him over to destruction of the flesh. So the up and the down is based on how we behave. God makes the judgment. He's not picking us to be promoted and that person to be demoted. No, it's based on how we behave. God's a just God. So we see here that God up in heaven, on the sides of the north, the Bible indicates that there's three different heavens right now. There'll be a fourth one one day when there's a new one built. But first heaven is found in 2 Peter 3:10. It's known as the atmospheric heaven. It's where the birds fly. Heaven number two is found in Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. This is the planetarian heaven. Heaven number three is the paradise of God. It's where God and those that are absent from the body live right now. What are they doing up there? Guarantee you they're worshiping God. I know I'll be. There's songs about at the feet of Jesus. And then there's songs about, you know, talking to loved ones and things like that. But I guarantee you there's some worshiping God going on. We know, we read the verse a while ago, there's some rejoicing in sinners being saved. Here's one in Revelation 24:4. I know what they're not doing in heaven. You can read Revelation 20, verse 4. They're not feeling any pain. They're not having any sorrows. They're not sick at all. They're not worrying about death. They're just having a good old time, worshiping God, rejoicing over sinners. I'm sure there's some singing going on. There might be some heavenly heroes that you could meet. Job, you're awesome, dude. I'd have cursed. I'd have killed my friends. I'd have told my wife where to get off. I'd have done this. I'd have done that. You're awesome. Can you imagine meeting Job? Hey, Daniel, was you scared? I mean, they're sitting right there, but God shut their mouth. Could you see God's hand? Or did they just get lockjaw? I mean, hey, Noah, dude, I've been over there and seen the replica. By hand? No saws? No air guns? Dude, that was awesome. Tell me about it. I mean, you can't overemphasize it. Hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's some weird names. But only thing that was burned off your hands was the ropes, man. How was that? Did you see Jesus immediately, or was it like, oh? I mean, tell me about it. Right? When you kill a deer, that's what people want. Tell me the story. I was sitting here, I mean, whoo! Shadrach, Meshach, tell me about it. Abednego. Noah, you could have left those mosquitoes off there. Gnats, snakes. I mean, it would have been all right with me if you'd have just left those off. I mean, they can talk about that. How about sharing your testimony? Thanks to God for Calvary Baptist Church in Marietta, Georgia, for a 10-year-old boy to hear the gospel and ask Jesus Christ to save him. Tell your story. To me, that's just as cool as Daniel in the lion's den. Maybe not be as popular. What are they doing in heaven? And lastly, who's going there? They that keep the Ten Commandments? Nope. They that their good outweighs their bad? Nope. They that read their Bible and pray every day? Nope. They that get baptized? Nope. Here's it's all, we're all money oriented. Those that give the most to the church? Nope. Only the ones that's been saved. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. John 4:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John 3:7. Marvel not that I say unto you, or ye, you must be born again. So only the saved and the born again are going to heaven. And I believe everybody here today is. And so we can rejoice in the fact that we know there's a place. We know some of the things that's going on. I can't explain the temporary body and the new body and things like that to the T. But we did see that God's going to take this corruptible one and fashion one like His that'll be perfect and without sin, and it'll be able to be that way forever. So the Bible does indicate enough. But we do know if a person's lost, they're not going. And it's our job to get them the gospel. So let's do our part. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, we thank you for your Bible. We thank you for dying for us. We thank you for making salvation possible. And Lord, we just looked at a few things this morning about heaven. And Lord, I think the principle is, I mean, they're doing something up there. Some may see, some may not see. But we know you're there, and we know you're watching our every move. So Lord, help us to behave ourselves that we might please you. Lord, help us to find those that don't know how to get there and tell them how to get there. Let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us an invitation. Altar's open. Obviously, if you aren't saved, you're not saved, and you'd like to be, I can show you how in the Bible. If you'd just like to come praise God and thank Him for heaven, the altar's open.